Good day, everyone. Welcome to our sixth episode of the InsurTech Business Series. How are you today, Damola?
I'm happy to be on this episode today, and it's going to be an interesting one. I'm looking forward to today's conversation. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Of course, we are trying as much as possible to get the best out of the industry. Oh, and by Sunday, it's going to be the National Insurance Awareness Day. Are you excited about that as well?
Oh, yes, I am. And it's quite interesting how the industry has grown, and we definitely would continue to have those conversations as regards how the industry can be better, you know, how we can leverage technology and stuff. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting day, and yeah, we'll continue to encourage those conversations.
In terms of awareness, what would you like to see going forward? I mean, it would be nice for me, it would be nice for, to see that, you know, NIA, perhaps NICOM, CIN, and other insurance companies in the industry come together to, you know, make that day memorable. But what do you think?
Yeah, so for me, I think that the first thing is each insurance company should definitely reach out to their customers, right? So yes, we have customers, but at the end of the day, majority of these customers don't actually even know what. Some of them don't even know what they have bought. You know, some of them don't know the content of their policy documents or what cover they are enjoying. You know, so reaching out to customers specifically that day. You know, some insurance companies, they will say yes, okay, we send messages to them regularly, keep in touch. Yeah, but this day, say okay. You know, just find a way to engage them and say, okay, on this day is so, and we are telling you about so, and things like that. So I think that is a very good starting point that we can do in the industry.
Okay, so we are excited about the person we're bringing on today. He's an amazing person in the insurance industry. Of course, he's not so grounded in the Nigerian insurance industry, but then again, he has experience in the Nigerian insurance industry, and is very vast in the industry in India, which, you know, some of us try to replicate those models in India, judging by the population that they have. He's into micro insurance. He's also like the, you know, co-founder of InsurTech, right, Damola?
Yes, we are going to be having Aparajit Bhattacharya. He's a co-founder and managing partner of InsureFirst. And like you mentioned, yes, he has some experience working in the Nigerian industry. And so we're going to be discussing with him trends and opportunities that exist in the distribution part of the insurance value chain. You know, so I mean, because the truth of the matter is that following the pandemic, that part of our business has changed, you know, and the way we distribute our service, our product, you know, has to change as well. So we're going to be asking questions as regards how insurance companies can go about that. What are opportunities that exist in that space, or what are the trends that we are seeing around the world, you know, and how can, especially developing countries, you know, adapt some of the trends that you might be seeing in developed nations, you know. And I mean, rightly, like you rightly said, you know, he is from India, right? And the two markets are quite similar also. It's going to be an interesting conversation, and this is one that I know that many insurers and insurance professionals want to, you know, really listen to.
Okay, so on that note, we would like to welcome Aparajit, but before then, stay tuned, we'll be back.
Welcome, Parajit.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to join you.
You're welcome.
This discussion. All right. Yes. So before we go into the meetup today, can you tell us a bit about yourself and your interest in insurance? Because I mean, I've gone through your LinkedIn and I see that you have a huge background in insurance.
Yeah. So my interest in insurance is deep-rooted. It's been about 20 years that I am associated with this wonderful business. So I have worked with pretty much all the big brands, whether it's New York Life or Prudential or Standard Life or MetLife or even Allianz. So the big brands I have worked with in various capacities. And since last about 5 years now, from not 5 years exactly, about 4 years now, I'm an entrepreneur. I have my own InsurTech here in India. And also I am on the global board of a company called Cover Genius, which is a global InsurTech, which operates on the B2B2C platforms as a senior consultant with them. So my interest is deep rooted in the insurance business. I've seen pretty much how the insurance landscape is evolving every day as we speak, from those days of virtually being on pen and paper to now moving to the digital platform. So therefore, the interest lies in business development, in creating new segments, in product development, in customer journey fulfillments, etc. So I'm pretty much an evangelist on the InsurTech side of business, and I'm pretty active on various InsurTech forums globally.
We're glad to have you. And so definitely whatever conversations that you'll be having with colleagues or anywhere around the world, there would always be questions around the pandemic and how it has affected the insurance industry. So looking specifically to the distribution aspect of the insurance value chain, right? The pandemic has really affected that and the way we see that aspect of our business. So, but what are the trends that you are seeing around the world that insurers, insurtechs are imbibing even this time, not to react to this really surprising situation that we find ourselves?
This is an unprecedented situation that we are going through. Something like this happened about 100 years back. So it's once in a lifetime situation for all of us. And insurance industry it doesn't operate in silos. It's very much a part of the entire economic system of as well as countries. So therefore, yes, the industry has been hit very hard, especially on business disruptions, interruptions, situations, and specifically on various lines of businesses are subdued currently. For example, businesses like travel insurance, motor insurance, etc. are seeing negative growth. Claims, etc. relating to business interruption has gone up worldwide. So there's a lot of chaos on the business side of things. Having said that, what you mentioned regarding digital disruptions and digital processes being adopted by insurance companies, I see the speed of adoption post-COVID, I think, is going to be very, very aggressive, the way the insurance companies are going to adopt technologies, because this has been a big learning for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
I think post-COVID, the way things were operated primarily, little bit of digital here, most of the part of the business being still run traditionally, disconnect between legacy systems and new cloud-based systems, so on and so forth. So what I mean to say in a nutshell is that maintenance of status quo might not be the right theory to go forward after this situation. So therefore, I think adoption of technology in the insurance space, I think, is going to be one of the key focus areas of the senior management of insurance companies as well as insurance intermediaries.
Great point that you mentioned there. But in terms of now the distribution aspect, how we sell our services, how people buy the services, what are some of the trends that you are beginning to see, you know, around the world? And if you can share use cases as well.
Sure. So firstly, what I'm seeing is a new segment of distribution emerging across the globe, which is the B2B2C segments. You know, the concept of B2B2C comes from the fact that future of insurance seems to be revolving around ecosystems and platforms, which means that if you have a platform where millions of people are coming to buy a service, and if you can be part of that platform, you seem to have a very viable business in hand. Let's take the example of Zhongan, which is a Chinese insurer. I'm sure you must have heard about them. They practically underwrite millions of policies in a month, and they their business model is basically partnerships and B2B to C distribution model. So one of the biggest partners for them obviously is the Alibaba platform. So you are embedding insurance into that platform to create a synonymous or a uniform journey for a customer and creating those opportunities for distribution. I think that's something which is coming out very strongly, not just in China or even in India as well, as I'm speaking. And for that matter, the company that I represent as a senior consultant, Coverage Genius, we are specialists on the B2B2C platforms itself. So, for example, Booking.com is another case study for us. So Booking.com, when you use that portal and you use their service, at the time of checking out, you will find insurance. Let's say for travel, you will find insurance present there. So you can simply click a few boxes and buy your travel insurance from that portal. So these kind of use cases are coming up where insurance companies and intermediaries and insurtechs are focusing to kind of participate in those platforms because of the fact that millions of people come and visit. For a use case like Nigeria, if I recollect when I was working in Nigeria in 2015, there was a big deal which happened between Jumia and I think AXA Holdings for placement of insurance products in the Jumia platform. So I guess these kind of collaborations, platforms will continue to become important for insurance companies and businesses. On the other side, on traditional business lines, mainly your agents, your bank assurance, your brokers, I think the digital wave has already hit these lines of businesses before coronavirus. So I guess nowadays, most of the insurance companies have developed apps for their agents, which the agents can use to solicit businesses. That I think will continue to evolve. A very big success story of digital distribution through agents is a company called Ping An, which is one of the biggest companies in China. So it's a global entity. Ping An is a huge organization, and they have more than 1 million agents on their payroll, than 1 million agents. And they have enabled all their agents through digital technology. So even for taking trainings, product knowledge and things like that, they can easily access the system and get all this information. So I think that's a beautiful case study to understand how technology is disrupting the traditional business lines also. So overall, if you ask me, InsurTech per se is not a business line. Insurance technology is something which will cut across, I think, all the distribution channels that you're talking about. Even brokers have started going online. Their brokers have started adopting digital in a big way, cloud-based platforms to simplify their own internal processes. Some of the brokers are now aggregating a lot of insurance products on their website. Various case studies of that exist in India. For example, you have CoverFox, which is an insurance broking company. If you visit their website, you can see how they're aggregating for various lines of insurances. There's Turtlemint in India, which is also an insurance broker. And there seems to be a lot of venture capital traction also in developing the digital insurance businesses. So I think overall, it's a good scene situation to be in.
So recently you posted something about the issue around the customer journey, where, for example, customers are onboarded digitally. You know, but then, like you said, they have to walk the last mile on foot. You know, so interestingly, a report from McKinsey, and I mean, it kind of speaks to that bit. You know, and this is an extract from that. It said, changing the distribution operating model will take time to implement, since it not only means employing new tools and assets, but also requires substantial capability building that affects other parts of the value chain, such as products and claims.
Right.
You know, so it's all through, I mean, the digital transformation has to be all through the value chain, the whole customer journey.
Yeah.
You know, can you speak a bit about that?
Yes. So You see, as I said, that insurance technology is not a business line per se. It's a way of life. So basically, what it means is that you need to keep the customer in the center when you design your entire digital proposition. It is not good enough that you have a fabulous user interface to bring on board customers. But what happens after that is also extremely important.
Yeah.
And one of the core promises of insurance business is, of course, you know, claims. It is a very broken way of doing things when you are sending somebody, quote unquote, a Mercedes-Benz to pick up from the airport, and then you offer that person to live in a small hotel, and it's a self-service where he has to go and buy food separately and things like that. So that creates a broken experience for the customer, right? So similarly, on the insurance value chain, you not only need to onboard customers digitally, you also need to continue to provide service to him through various digital tools, create environment where he can quickly raise a query in case he has any problems, resolve that, move ahead. And when it comes to claims, of course, you keep the customer in the center and design your claim experience just like you are designing your onboarding experience. If your onboarding experience is, let's say, 10 clicks or 12 clicks and your claim experience is 2 months, it doesn't work, right? So therefore, you need to also figure out a process as to how you can create an environment or create technologies where you are able to settle claims also in 12 clicks as you are setting up the customer in 10 to 12 clicks. So that is basically what I intended when I wrote that post in LinkedIn, because I see that a lot of players have figured out how to onboard a customer, how to generate a lead, convert that into sales and onboard that person into the system. But thereafter, what happens, that part of the journey, a lot of insurance companies are still figuring out. So therefore, the experience is not uniform. So therefore, instead of taking a halfway kind of a measure or maybe a half-hearted attempt, you need to actually work out the full flow and then continue to build on those digital blocks so that all the entire process becomes uniform. But of course, it will take time because insurance companies have to deal with their legacy systems. So there are big decisions that needs to be taken as to how and in which way digital processes are required to be adopted. So those things obviously will take some time for everybody to figure out. But the ones who are figuring out faster is going to win. That's for
sure. What are the things you think that insurers should consider when choosing channels to, you know, distribute their products?
Traditionally, channels can be just about basically two mediums. Either you reach out to the customer directly by way of your website or by way of your call center or whatever, or you use intermediaries like agents, brokers, corporate agents, banks, etc. to reach out. There are no other two ways. You can create a marketplace, you can participate in a marketplace. You can, as I said, participating in a marketplace, which means B2B2C relationships, so on and so forth. Or you can choose to deploy your agents and you can choose to leverage bank assurance as a relationship and use brokers. Now, digital is a way of life, as I'm kind of repeating it at the cost of being repetitive. But the fact is, when you think about creating a digital distribution footprint, you actually have to work from ground zero to build a proposition in such a way that ecosystem connects and talks to each other. You cannot work on silos. So therefore, digitizing the internal workflows are extremely important. What the customers basically will see is the tip of the iceberg, just like the iceberg principle. What is behind the scene is more important. And unfortunately, in 2020 and beyond, customers are expecting an omni-channel kind of an experience. So what I mean to say by that is, if they visit a website like, let's say, Jumia and then Nigeria, and they buy insurance from that website and they are very happy about it, they will expect the same kind of experience when they buy their next policy from a broker who is enlisted with an insurance company. They will expect the same kind of an experience when they're actually coming to the website of that company and buying any further policy in future. Mm. So therefore, you cannot have different type of user interfaces, different type of user experiences in different platforms. You need to have a unified experience. Mm. That is the front end of the business. But to give that unified experience across various channels, across various mediums, you need to digitize your core processes in such a way that every function talks to each other on a digital platform seamlessly. So therefore, data becomes extremely crucial, and how data is getting transferred from one department to another on a seamless fashion so that it reflects beautifully in front of the customer across any channel. That is basically the biggest challenge of an insurance company as I see at this point of time.
True. Because, I mean, speaking about data, I mean, I wanted to ask you as well, because all of these things, you know, really just at the background, you're just telling me that there is so much importance when it comes to data and getting insights from data. I'm not even looking at external data now. I'm talking about even data that we have already as insurance companies on structured data, you know. And you find that some of these things are still in silos, like you mentioned, you know, a customer that buys a car insurance with you, that same customer maybe has a life insurance policy, but those two data points are not connected. You don't have a holistic information about that one customer that says, okay, this is one customer, he has five different types of policies with us. And so we can look at that and say, okay, well, instead of giving him the individual plans, why not we create something? Can you speak a bit about the importance of data in terms of, you know, going forward digitally now?
You know, one of the primary reason why things are in silos and why data doesn't move seamlessly from one department to another department is because of internal servers and not a cloud-based platform. So you see, insurance companies, you previously we used to use what you call own servers. We used to have IBM-based servers hosted internally. And on top of that, then you have those desktop computers which comes with their own storage. So we end up creating a lot of files which are actually stored in the local computers, and then there are a lot of data files which are stored in the data centers or the servers which an insurance company has. And unfortunately, these data cannot talk to each other unless and until somebody physically retrieves it in a pen drive. Yeah. Or takes a printout and then move. But the beauty is, let's say Google Drive. So if you are on G Drive, you can collaborate, you can work with others on the same document. You can share links of that document and things like that. So it is primarily a technology challenge more than anything else. And secondly, as I see, to be very fair on the insurers as well, so a company which is operating for the last 25-30 years, you need to understand that a huge amount of data are stored on paper and on hard drives of various computers. So probably retrieving those data and then trying to make sense out of that is be extremely difficult. But what could be of use is that if you start projects parallelly, like a department, like say a data mining department or an intelligence department within an organization, who can actually run various data mining projects to retrieve and simplify the data processes. I think that will be a beautiful investment for any insurance company who is trying to streamline or who is trying to actually move from offline to online.
Yeah, so I spoke with Adi Kaimowitz, who is the founder of Virtual Actuary. Virtual Actuary is based in South Africa, but they serve customers in South Africa, across Africa, and also even in Silicon Valley, right? And they are an actuary business, right? But they are not, I mean, they are leveraging a lot of technology, cloud, and the likes to do their business, to do their work. And they work with data. And he spoke a lot about how the South African industry, right, is leveraging a lot of data to scale, to price, behavioral underwriting and the like. So I think it's something that in Nigeria we need to start looking at and begin to grow, right? And those conversations as well went to the fact that, I mean, skill wise, you know, some of the insurance professionals now need to upskill, right? Actuaries, they are talked about actuaries. Hey, are you saying that actuaries are going to lose their relevance? Then we just need data scientists. You know, but I mean, it's important that you understand that actuaries will still always be there, but it's just key that they learn some of these new skills so that they can create more value for themselves and for their employers, the insurers, so that there's more accurate analysis of data and, you know, business is better. You know, speaking about the impact of data and all this technology, I mean, like you mentioned earlier, it's either you are selling directly to customers or through intermediaries. One of the intermediaries popular here in Nigeria is the agency, right? So first off, do you think with technology we'll be seeing the death of the of agency, or is it a case of working hand in hand?
Okay. So first of all, actuarial practice is a very specialized practice. I'm just to give you a perspective of what you just said a few seconds back. Data science is not that actuaries are going to become obsolete. That is not the point. That cannot happen, because at the end of the day, it's a very, very important function, and how the actuaries calculate a particular product and how they price it, the future of the company will depend on that.
Yeah.
But what data science can do is actually streamline a lot of challenges that an actuary faces on a day-to-day life and provide ease of decision making for them. So data science department can actually be of great help to the actuarial team to correctly price and create those products, which in turn will help the company to maximize its profits.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, it will also help in bringing relevant products to the consumers.
Yeah.
So the importance of data is tremendous. Predictive analytics, to be very specific, I think is extremely crucial. And all companies should have it. It is a must-have department forward. Those who already have it are doing well. I'm sure the rest will join soon. Now, coming to the second part of your question, which is the role of insurance agents. You see, there are many different types of risks that requires coverage, right? So you have motor insurance, you have fire insurance, marine insurance, life insurance, health insurance, so many other things. Now, to commoditize insurance as in product, it is possible if you're underwriting only a specific risk. For example, accident policy. It is a very specific risk. If you have an accident, then the policy claim will be settled.
Yeah.
Those kind of micro insurance or sachet insurance products.
Yeah.
Of course, you can host digitally and you can sell digitally. You do not need much of an intervention in terms of solicitation to be involved in that. But when it comes to health insurance, when it comes to life insurance, and when it comes to complex risk policies like contractor all risk or liability policies or fire policies, or when you're underwriting oil and gas and things like that, unfortunately, those are all knowledge-based businesses, and it's still not possible to simplify it to that extent that you can host it on a website or maybe in a mobile application and sell. So rather than thinking that agents will become obsolete, I think in the new digital era, the role of data will play a crucial role here as well. Just like data science can help the actuaries in the form of right information sharing platforms, can even help the agents to be much more knowledgeable and their skills getting upgraded so that they can actually add value to their customers' life. If you see earlier, in India, even in Nigeria, the way I saw the insurance business being conducted was very traditional.
Right.
So you have to come down to the office for training sessions, and a training manager will take sessions and they will make examination to understand
whether
you have learned about the topic or not, and then you are very much on your own. There's hardly any follow-up, there's hardly any refreshers which happens. Even when refresher happens, it happens after a long period of time. So So that model of distribution of knowledge is ineffective. But utilizing data, creating training sessions online, creating small modules, using audio and video, for example, things like these podcasts and things like that, can be very, very, very beneficial for the agents to learn new skills, to upgrade their existing knowledge, and therefore become much more professional and viable as an intermediary in front of the customer. So I think the role of agents are not going to go anywhere. I think digital platforms will only end up enabling the agents even more.
All right. So you have some experience working here in Nigeria, and then also currently doing some work in the Indian industry as well. So I wanted to hear your thoughts as regards the things that you think that the Nigerian industry can learn from the Indian industry, for example, where we are seeing a lot more innovation in terms of insurtech.
So when you talk about innovation, you basically see this is all about creating an ecosystem. Okay, as we have discussed, no individual or an entity can operate in a silo. What I've seen in India is that the regulator IRDA has been extremely aggressive on this front. They have launched various initiatives, including Sandbox, where a lot of innovations are taking place as we are speaking. So Sandbox is typically an environment where an insurance company, where intermediaries, everybody can come together and can jointly innovate on various processes or various products for a given amount of time. So I think Nicom should launch a sandbox kind of an environment in Nigeria, which will foster innovation in that country. So I'm not just a sandbox. There are various initiatives which the regulator in India is taking on a regular basis. They have streamlined the health insurance policy guidelines. They have brought in a lot of guidelines and regulations to promote e-commerce. There's a separate guideline for e-commerce business. So not just India, I'm seeing these things happening in Hong Kong as well. I'm seeing these things happening in Singapore, where the regulators are taking an active participation in developing the ecosystem. So therefore, I think Nicom also has a huge role to play in this whole situation. More participation from them, more involvement from them in terms of coming out with digital fostering and regulations and things like that will help the ecosystem to develop much faster in Nigeria.
Spoken about Nike angle, I mean, really, Nicom is the regulator, but there are a lot of other players like in the market. You have brokers, you have the insurance companies themselves. So from their own aspect now, because so for example, as you know, you can't discuss retail business with brokers, you know, for example, right? It's not one thing that they want to really go into. Or, you know, for the insurers, you know, many of them are looking for the big ticket businesses, the aviation, the oil and gas, you know, and, you know, and so the retail market is really just left to the agency force, and the agency force, which is not well backed in terms of, you know, how they are empowering them to give professional service to customers, you know. So from that aspect of the industry, you know, what do you think that we can learn from India, or what you are seeing around the world?
My experience of working in Nigeria has been that there's a lot of dependency on aviation and oil and gas business, right? So I do not think that adequate steps have been taken to launch and foster retail business as a line of business in Nigeria. To be very honest, why? Because you see, Nigeria has a population base of about 190 odd million people, but then majority of the population is associated with the unorganized sector. So banking, financial inclusion, etc. plays a great role in bringing in retail insurance. So banking penetration, I see, is a hurdle.
Yeah.
because access, not many Nigerians have access to bank accounts compared to, let's say, India, or maybe let's just say India for the sake of discussion. So banking needs to be made easy. People must be able to have access to banks. Secondly, as I see, from the retail perspective, you have policies aimed at obviously people who are earning a regular income. But then that segment of people are basically clustered around LAPH, what we call it, Lagos, Port Harcourt, Abuja. You know, so out of 180 odd million people, we are addressing a much smaller market, right? So that limits the scope of penetration for insurance products in the market. So you need to address how can we reach out to the rest of the population. And therefore, I think the role of micro insurance is extremely important in a country like Nigeria. In India, we already have micro insurance guidelines. We are working on micro insurance side. We are working on affordable insurance plans for people who are average income earners. So those kind of innovations in terms of guidelines, in terms of regulations needs to come. Even if I have to say about Ghana, which is just neighboring country, they are in Ghana. Companies like Bima is doing very well using micro insurance products. Even in Kenya, micro insurance products have a good market. However, I think that part of the segment of the market is missing in Nigeria. So there's a lot of scope for innovation in those areas as well. So how do you price a micro insurance product? What kind of distribution channels you want to utilize? It has to be obviously digital because the cost of those products cannot be very high. So therefore, your acquisition costs also have to be very low.
Yeah.
So therefore, digital is the right platform to promote micro insurance products. So I think if the insurtechs who are based out of Nigeria focus on this segment, I think this segment itself is a huge segment to address. So money changers, local money lenders and things like that. So there's a different ecosystem which is Nigeria, which caters to this segment of people.
Yeah.
I think those people need to be brought into the bigger ambit of financial inclusion. So therefore, they start getting access to this kind of insurance products as well.
Right. Thank you for that. And I mean, you really just hit the nail on the head. So I know that, like you mentioned, when we started, you have your own insurtech business.
Yes.
So where does InsureFirst come in all of this conversation?
Sure. So after I came back from Nigeria, I kind of sidestepped from my corporate career and deep dived into creating InsureFirst with the objective of taking insurance to the mass underpenetrated markets of India. So the focus of InsureFirst is to basically take insurance to the tier 2 and 3 semi-urban and rural locations in India. We started with eastern part of India currently, and we are now expanding into the southern part of India. So on the whole, we address about close to 800 million people, out of which about our target market is about 350 million plus. So this segment of customers are mainly traders. They are small income earners. They do not. They are not BPL. Neither they are mass affluence or middle class. They are in between. And that is where I have seen there's a gap in India, which we have tried to bridge through technology-based sales practices and creating products which make sense for these people to buy. For example, if it is about a shopkeeper or a shop owner, his bread and butter is coming from that shop, right? So that is his business, and that is probably his most expensive asset as well. So therefore, you need to have shopkeeper package policies which can safeguard his interest against theft, against fire, against things like that, you know? Fire is a very common peril in Nigeria also. I've seen big markets Paloku Market,
yes,
and,
yes,
and all, they keep on catching,
yes,
fire, and a lot of people,
yes,
every year they face a lot of loss because their kind of shops get burned down and things
loss.
Like that. So the situation is like similar here in India also. You have clusters of towns and smaller locations where the main business is trading and things like that. So we are trying to create opportunities in this segment by providing them with shopkeeper policies which can be bought digitally. We are doing two-wheeler policies. We are doing critical illness policies. We are doing small ticket size health insurance policies, which are very easy to understand and buy online through our own technology platforms.
Okay.
We also work with self-help groups. We also work with NGOs on social inclusion.
Okay.
So that creates segments of customers for us who were predominantly offline, or maybe where they're like very far away from the ecosystem. So we are trying to bring in those people into the ambit of formal banking as well as insurance access. Why? Because again, there are various studies, including Boston Consulting, including McKinsey, Deloitte, everybody has published a lot of studies on this, is that in India, the next 500 million customers are going to come from these locations. Because adoption of technology and penetration of smartphones are rising very rapidly. So therefore, access to smartphones, very low data cost, is bringing millions of people online. And they are interacting with various platforms. They are getting comfortable by doing online transactions for banking and things like that. So we are working on the insurance side to make insurance accessible to them as well. And this works well for both the parties for those insurance companies who are not present in this kind of markets. So we give new markets and new customers to those insurance companies. So that helps them to build their business books. On the other hand, for those customers who never heard about these insurance companies and probably were getting deprived from getting good products, we give those customers those opportunities also to buy products which are much more modern and can solve their problem. So we kind of work on both the sides too.
That's really interesting, and thank you very much for speaking with us. We really appreciate your time, and very insightful and practical situations where the distribution channel can actually change some of the challenges that we're facing and how we can actually walk around it. So thank you very, very much. So for people listening, how can they connect with you? LinkedIn?
I am active in LinkedIn. Just search my name, you will find me there. Also, I can be reached at aparajit.b4bombay@gmail.com. I am very excited to see the movement as far as fintech and insurtech and on the whole startups in Nigeria. I am observing it. Various forums and platforms are getting created. I think it's a very exciting space for us to be in. And as an insurtech enthusiast and an observer, I'm actually observing how things are maturing there as well. So it's something which is very nice. I consider Lagos to be a part of my life as well, because I've lived there. I have very good friends over there. We are still in touch with each other. So so thank you very much for having me for the session, and I'll be happy to participate in future discussions if you think thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate that. And we definitely will be having a lot more conversation. The reason why we set up this is to ignite some of those conversations and see how well technology can be really put up in the industry. And we've seen that there's some movement already. We've seen partnerships with fintechs, insurance companies. AXA Mansa recently partnering with a fintech company called Carbon.
Yes.
And we see Ella also partnering with Hygia, HMO, selling health insurance, to a new set of customers, the Gen Z, maybe the millennials.
you understand. So exactly. So yeah, it's quite interesting, and definitely would continue this conversation, and we'll be glad to have you.
Welcome to the new segment. AIO Council's AGM conference scheduled to hold in Lagos. Following an extraordinary meeting, the African Insurance Organization's Executive Committee has decided to cancel the 47th conference and annual general meeting, which was scheduled to hold in Lagos, Nigeria. The event, which was scheduled to hold between October 3rd and 7th this year, will now be held next year in Lagos at a date to be announced. FCMB Pensions to acquire ICO Pension. Acquisition talks between FCMB Pensions, a subsidiary of FCMB Group PLC, and ICO Pensions Managers Limited are well underway, as FCMB Pensions wants to acquire the 70% and 26% stake in ICO Pensions held by ICO Insurance PLC and other shareholders respectively. In separate statements, the two entities notified the Nigerian Stock Exchange of the proposed deal that would make ICO Pensions an indirect subsidiary of FCMB Group PLC. Interesting news in the insurtech space in Nigeria. Wella Health, a platform that offers affordable health insurance for families to cushion the financial burden of health emergencies, is one of the three African startups selected to take part in Global FinTech Accelerator, the Catalyst Fund. The accelerator is managed by BFA Global and is supported by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and JP Morgan Chase & Co. Also, Curacell, a startup looking to play big in the claims and fraud detection space in the insurance industry, has been selected for the fifth cohort of the Google for Startups Accelerator Africa. They are one of 20 African startups selected and would benefit from leveraging Google technologies, methodologies, and staff in order to scale. We are so excited about these two, and we cannot wait to share stories about others. That's the news. Stay tuned.
Hi everyone, welcome back to InsurTech Business Series. Hope you enjoyed the discussion with Aparajet. I mean, of course, there were take-home points there, but before I even delve into what I think about what he has said, I would like to ask my co-host, Damola.
Like we said before we began the conversation with Aparajet, the distribution landscape has changed, right? And one of the major things that he said that really is important is that insurance companies, for example, need to consciously invest in digital science, right? So it's quite important that we are getting a lot more data, a lot more insights from data that we even have as insurance companies, because we have years and years of data, you know, 30, 40, 50 years. Insurance companies have been in existence for the past 100 years, you know, so we have a lot of data. Now, the challenge is that some of this data are paper-based, right? They have been doing their things manually, and many of this the information are in files, papers, somewhere stored. And so that is the challenge, you know, for insurance companies. But at the end of the day, it's still very important that insurance companies have a deliberate investment into data science and analytics, so that we can get more insights, so it can inform the way we sell our product, the kind of product that we even send out to customers, and, you know, really get better insight as to, okay, our portfolios and how the customers are reacting to some of our services. So yeah.
Do you think that will come from... Okay, the reason why I'm probably asking this question is because it's important to note that for us to, you know, tailor, make those products, I obviously agree that insurance companies need to digitize their processes. Like Aparajit mentioned, that you cannot just start from, there's the middle part of it, there's the end part of it, and then there's the beginning part of it. That's the customer facing, and then of course. So I do agree that we need to, you know, digitize all of these processes, convert our manual processes into automated processes. I mean, it even makes the work faster. But in terms of, you know, data analysis, I've always thought that majority of this data analysis will have to come from, you know, we have to be pushed by the regulator. See what the banks are doing in terms of BVN, for instance. Now, it's easy for you to link your bank accounts to other, for them to monitor all of those things. So say, for instance, if I do a claim, I'll be able to monitor the customer's portfolio without necessarily asking for data from another insurance company. Because there's a repository where data's are kept, and then I can just, you know, have an, I don't even need to know the customer's details with other insurance company, or I don't need to know other insurance company that the customer has business with. All I have to do is just tap into that particular data source, and then I have all of the profiling I need on a particular customer. So I mean, it even helps with pricing. You know when you're supposed to price better, you know when you're supposed to, you know, share contributory aspect of you know, insurance and all of that. So I think that this conversation is really an interesting one in terms of digitizing, knowing what digital product you even need as an organization. You know, it's not once you fit on, one has to be careful about which digital product would work best for me. So watch all of these things, and it's really interesting. It's very, very interesting.
So I mean, the digital transformation, and specifically data part of this conversation, is I think that it's gonna take the industry practitioners and regulator, you know, so it's not going to be just the regulator or just the insurance companies or brokers, right? Like you rightly mentioned, I mean, that bit, for example, is where the regulator can play a huge role by ensuring, setting a standard that, hey, so all of this information should get to us from your systems digitally, and so we are going to be creating that platform where every insurance company in the market has access to the information of all people, all in Nigerians or entities who have insurance, right? So if that same person or any other person is coming in newly and say, okay, I want to buy this other product, they can easily just go check and say, okay, what does this person have already? How can we, you know, offer other things, or, you know, in terms of claims, you know, claims management, you know, assessing the fact that, okay, well, what's this person's claims history? You know, instead of saying, in forms today, you see that they are asking you, okay, do you have any claim? Have you made any claim in the past three years? For example, I can just say no, and maybe I have had like a million claims in the past year. There's no way to confirm.
There's
that.
No way to exactly. I can't confirm it. There's no data.
Right. So it's something that the regulator has to be. But at the end of the day, even the insurance companies, for example, the brokers, they have a role to play as well in terms of ensuring that they put in management system, data analysis. Why? Because they are the ones in the business, right? They are the ones working for profit, working to get new customers, right? So by the time you are able to analyze some data that you have, we're not even looking at external data now, where you can get from other places now. So for example, that kind of repository that we mentioned earlier can be an external data that, okay, well, this is for the whole industry that we can benefit from, right? Data that you have, even as an insurance company, you know, so you can get information from that data as regards what type of products moves in the market, you know, what type, yeah, what which ones of our services do people like, or you can see the features that are not interesting to customers. You can even see how or why some products might not be doing so well. You know, you can get ideas about products to create, you know. Mm-hmm. So the benefits go a long way, and it's something that, like Aparaji mentioned, is a must for all insurance companies to invest, mm-hmm, in data science. It's very, very important. Very, very, very important.
I mean, that's the future, so we might as well start now.
Yes. And the future is now.
Yes. All right. Thank you guys very much for listening on our program. I mean, on our podcast. It's been interesting. I hope you also take, you know, like, enough. I hope you are able to take enough points to, you know, challenge the industry in your own bit, because like we said, the future is now. It's time for us to, you know, make all of these changes. Time for us to start putting in, like, dotting our I's and crossing our T's. It's important for us to, you know, digitize some of our processes. And while digitizing that, it is also important for us to remember that the agency aspect of the business is as important as the digitized aspect of the business, because regardless, you still need people that will push your business forward. Like, not everybody is going to want to wear the same type of shoes. There are different people who would want to have that face-to-face conversation. But how fast would your agency be able to onboard such clients, or how fast would it be able to, you know, analyze what the clients would want in terms of, you know, insurance, what would be their specific needs? So it's important for us to also enable those agents with, you know, digitized apps, or, you know, just try as much as possible to give them that particular platform to be able to sell insurance via the digitized platforms that the organization is offering. It's as important.
We can really leverage technology, and it's about time, you know. We have had some potential for so long, right? Mm-hmm. So it's important that we take the bull by the horn right now. I mean, the COVID-19 pandemic is an opportunity for the industry. So, yes. On this note, I want to say happy National Insurance Awareness Day, and see you next time.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.